This I say them, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I also have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. God is good, and all the time. Good evening, everyone. I hope you had a pleasant day by the grace of God. The fact that you're present in this place tells me that the Lord has brought you through one more day so far. I also extend that hope and that prayer to God's people watching us via YouTube and Facebook, wherever you are. Thank you very much for your presence. We appreciate it. I also had a good day, and I thank God for that. And I continue to thank Him for the very high and holy calling of speaking for God. I've often said it would be an honor to speak for my head of state, President Trump. It would be an honor for you to speak to yours, wherever you're from. But to speak for God is a privilege that cannot be measured. And so I thank God very much, and I will do what I can to make sure that I proclaim truth and nothing else but the truth. Our subject for this evening, prisoners of war. Tonight, it is prisoners of war, and it's a very serious issue. Let's bow our heads now and pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you very much today, God, for bringing us to this place of worship, whether in this building or via the internet. Your presence is the same. We thank you for the gift of life again. We thank you for health. We thank you for freedom of worship. We thank you for clear minds to understand the words of truth. As we bow ourselves in your presence, Father, if we've sinned against you, we ask you to forgive us, and to grant us your Spirit without measure, that he may strengthen us, and that he may enlighten us, that the words spoken may be understood and received. I, as the speaker there, Father, I feel the weight of this heavy responsibility. I need help urgently, and I'm asking you, Father, the source of truth, to help me. Put your words in my mouth, dear Father. Help me to speak with the humility of Jesus Christ, with the compassion of Jesus Christ, but also with the boldness of Jesus Christ. Bless all those listening. A very special blessing on all our guests who've joined us. Father, I always ask you, bless every country represented by those listening. Bless the heads of those countries, dear God, as we are in this crisis time in Earth's history. Let them make decisions that are advantageous to the gospel, because righteousness exalteth a nation. Hear this humble prayer. I offer it from my heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Our subject for this evening, prisoners of war. Have you ever wondered why people commit crimes? Why people die? Why people are sick? Why babies are born dead? Why there's divorce, regardless of who's right or wrong? Why there are wars going on right now as I speak? As I speak, someone is trying to break into someone's house. As I speak, someone in a hospital is dying. Someone in a nursing home is dying. Someone in a private home is dying. As I speak, someone is inflicting violence upon someone else somewhere around the world. As I speak, a soldier is being shot. A rebel is being shot. Someone is being tortured. Someone is contracting an illness. As I speak, the coronavirus is taking a life. Why do these things happen? But more importantly, why do human beings do what they do? Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. We'll read verse 31. Genesis 1, reading verse 31. This is a summary statement of creation. The Bible says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. This is God's own assessment of his work. And he said that before sin entered the world. Before sin entered the world, sin had already existed in heaven. Let's go to Revelation 12. We've been there before. Let's look at it again. Revelation 12, we'll read from verse 7. Our subject, prisoners of war. Revelation 12, reading from verse 7. "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out," that old serpent called the devil and Satan. "He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." The Bible tells us there was a conflict in heaven. Now, we have biblical evidence that this conflict took place before the creation of the earth and mankind. If you go to Genesis chapter 1, let's read from verse 11. Genesis 1, reading from verse 11, "We shall reason through the scriptures." Genesis 1, reading from verse 11, the Bible says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so." We are informed that vegetation was made on the third day. Adam and Eve were made on the sixth day. We're reasoning through the Bible. Trees and grass were made day three. Let's go to chapter 2 and read verse 9. Genesis 2, verse 9. Our subject, prisoners of war. "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight." Now, when did that happen? On the third day. Notice two trees identified. The tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil existed before Adam and Eve were made, which tells us, reasonably, evil existed before Adam was made, because Adam was made on day six. But the presence of that tree tells us clearly that evil existed somewhere in the universe before Adam and Eve were made. Genesis 2, let's read from verse 16. And we'll read 17 as well. Our subject, prisoners of war. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." We know they sinned from chapter 3, from verse 1 to 6. Eve sinned, then Adam followed her and sinned. When they sinned, everything changed, not immediately, but a change took place in them. Let's go to verse 8, verse 9 of chapter 3. "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked." How does that verse end? "And I did" what? "Hid myself." Sin creates now in Adam an avoidance of God. Look at verse 8 of Genesis 3. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Sin created immediately an avoidance for God in Adam and Eve. And everyone born since then comes into the world with a natural aversion to God. A natural aversion to holiness. Listen to Romans 8 verse 7. It's not a very nice verse, but it's truth. Romans 8, reading verse 7. Let's go there. Romans 8, verse 7. And remember, whenever we read a very tough and harsh verse, I did not write it. It was written by holy men. Do you have Romans 8, verse 7? The Bible says, because the carnal mind, that's the mind we inherit from Adam, is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The Bible says the carnal mind, the flesh, the way we're born, the natural man cannot keep God's law. His natural condition is enmity against God. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23. And he will support Paul. Jeremiah 13, verse 23, our subject, prisoners of war. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? What's the answer? No. Of the leopard, his spots. What's the answer? No. Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. The Bible says that we cannot change our carnal nature, not by ourselves, not in our own power. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? The answer is no. Can the leopard change his spots? The answer is no. The Bible does not say that Ethiopian skin cannot be changed. The Bible says the Ethiopian can't change it. Did you get that? The Bible doesn't say the leopard spot cannot be changed. The Bible says the leopard cannot change his spot. And you and I cannot change our carnal nature. Stay in Jeremiah. Go to chapter 17. Read verse 9. Our subject, prisoners of war. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Well, let's skip Jeremiah 79. Let's go to John 8:44 and listen to Jesus. John 8. 44. Before I read that verse, I'll pray again. Loving Father in heaven, speak through me clearly, Father, as I humble myself again in your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. John 8:44. Listen now from the lips of Jesus himself. It's one of the harshest verses in the Bible. He's speaking to the scribes and Pharisees. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Now, the word father is used three times, I believe, in that verse. Let's read it again. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. And the verse ends by saying, he's a liar and the father of it. Now, on the surface, you may say, wait a minute, this is not right. I thought my father was Adam. Our father is Adam physically. But the nature that Adam developed because of sin did not originate with Adam. It originated with Satan. Because sin is sin. Let me say that again. I'll say it differently and a little more embarrassingly. The mind of a sinner and the mind of Satan are no different. Now, there is a difference. It's the difference of intensity. Are you with me? Here is a little boy. He's 3 years old. Here is his father, who's 35. The father is a professional bodybuilder. The little boy is 3. Well, one is stronger than the other. That's obvious. But both are 100% human. If that's clear, say amen. Now, the mind of a sinner is no different from the mind of the devil. The only difference is the devil has more power to express that wicked nature than we do. We pause for that to settle in. If you look at what God will give to the devil, by punishment. And what he gives to sinners, it's the same thing. Because ultimately, they're the same thing in mind. A slice of orange is chemically identical to the large piece of the orange that's left. And I think I've made that point. So when Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will do, it was a very serious statement Jesus made. The origin of sin is not Adam. The origin of sin is Satan. Now, sin entered the world through Adam, yes. But the origin of sin in the universe is Satan, not Adam. We inherited our nature, yes, from Adam. But the rebellious nature that came about because of sin was not original to Adam. That rebellious mind began with Satan. When Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil, he was very, very correct. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. We'll read verses 11 and 12. And those verses will support what Jesus said. 1 John 3, verses 11 and 12. This time we will read what the Bible says about Cain. For this is the message that he heard from the beginning, that he should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. All that means is he was a child of the devil and slew his brother. Now, why was he a child of the devil? He committed murder, and the Bible says Satan was the first murderer, John 8:44. Cain, spiritually, was a child of the devil. Listen to what Jesus calls Judas. Go to John 17. I have good news to come. Please don't look so depressed. I have some good news for you. As we continue with prisoners of war. What book did I say? John. What chapter? 17. Jesus is praying to his father. And he tells him in verse 12, while I was with them, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. While I was with them, I kept them in thy name. He's referring to the 12. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. But, whom does he identify? Judas, what does he call him? The son of perdition. Now, go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll read verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Keep in mind, Judas is called the son of perdition. 2 Thessalonians 2, reading verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except the falling, they come of falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The man of sin, identified in 2 Thessalonians, who is the same thing as the little horn in Daniel 7 and the beast in Revelation 13, is called the son of perdition. Judas is called by Christ the son of perdition because Judas, by his behavior, was a devil. But Jesus says that even more directly. Go to John chapter 6. Let's read verse 70. John 6, verse 70. Our subject, prisoners of war. This is Jesus speaking, and he said, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you, finish the verse. Come on, finish the verse. I'm listening. It's the devil. Jesus called Judas a devil. One of you is a devil. He called him the son of perdition. The Bible calls Cain a child of the devil. And Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil. What am I trying to say? The issue is not Adam and Christ. The issue is Satan and Christ. There is a war between Satan and Christ that began long time ago. We know not how long ago. It must have been uncounted eons before the earth was made. The highest angel ever made by Christ rebelled against him. And that's where sin began. Let's look at this rebellion. Let's go to Isaiah 14. We read from verse 12 and see what Lucifer kept in his heart. Isaiah 14, Reading from verse 12. I continue to ask my Father in heaven to give me the right words as I speak on an issue that the devil does not like. May the Lord be with me for the sake of the truth. In the name of Jesus. Amen. How art thou cut down to the ground, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou fallen, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Lucifer wanted the place of God and the place of Christ. This God cannot allow, nor could Christ allow. Because of this, there was war in heaven, as we read in Revelation 12, verse 17. Verse 7. Now let's go to Revelation 12 and look at some prisoners of war. Revelation 12, let's read verse 9. Well, we read 7 to 9. Review that passage. Revelation 12, 7 to 9, the Bible says, and there was war in heaven. Who are the two generals? Michael, that's Christ, and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was the place found any more in heaven. Now you may ask the question, who is or what is the dragon? The Bible explains itself. Look at verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. The word dragon is a term applied to the devil. Serpent is applied, devil is applied, Satan is applied. He has those four names. Each name means something different, but they all express the devil's satanic ability to cause trouble in the lives of God's people. Jesus and Satan had a battle. How it was fought, we don't know. All we know is, in verse 9, Satan was cast out. But the Bible says his angels were cast out with him. Now listen to what the Bible says about the angels, also about Lucifer. Go to 2 Peter chapter 4, chapter 2, verse 4. 2 Peter 2, verse 4, our subject, prisoners of war. 2 Peter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. They are in chains of darkness. They are prisoners of war. The expression chains of darkness simply means there is nothing they can do about what's coming for them when Jesus Christ comes back. They are circumstantially bound. They are to be destroyed when Christ comes back, and they know that. Prisoners of war. But there's another group of prisoners of war. Let us go to Isaiah 42. We read verse 6 and verse 7. Isaiah 42, 6 and 7. God is good. And all the time, perhaps you'll answer me a little more loudly if I say, Mungu ni mwema. Siku zote. All right. What book did I say? Isaiah, what chapter? 42, verse 6 and 7. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give me for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Now look at verse 7. To open what? The blind eyes. Keep reading. To do what? To bring out the prisoners from? Now, who are these prisoners? And by the way, blindness is just an expression for imprisonment. To open the blind eyes. To bring out the prisoners from the prison house. This is a prophetic expression about the work Jesus Christ would come to do. This is a prophecy of Isaiah that the work of Jesus Christ would be to deliver prisoners. Go to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, let's read verse 1. And we read that a couple nights ago. are subject prisoners of war. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim what? Liberty to whom? The captives. And read the final statement. An opening of what? The prison, come on, to them that are bound. Those prisoners are sinners. Opening of the prison to those that are bound. Isaiah tells us in 61:1, 42:7, releasing prisoners is the work Jesus Christ has come to do. Now listen to Jesus as he quotes this verse, Luke 4, verse 18, our subject, prisoners of war. Luke 4, 18. Now before we go to Luke 4, let's not go there. Let's stay in Isaiah. Let's go back to chapter 14 of Isaiah. You must see this verse. You may have seen it before and not noticed it, but we have to take a look at this verse. You'll understand why we chose prisoners of war as the subject and why you need Jesus. Isaiah 14, we read from verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that is shake kingdoms, that made the world of a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof? Finish verse 17. That open not the house, come on, of his prisoners. When the devil has you, he does not let you go. Here comes the good news. You can be delivered, but you can't deliver yourself. Jesus came to break open this prison and release people. Release prisoners of war. He will not release the fallen angels. This situation is fixed. But he wants to release human prisoners of war. And the Bible tells us he came to open the prison, to release the prisoners. Let's see an example of that in Matthew 12. Let's go to Matthew 12. We'll read from verse 22. Our subject, prisoners of war. Of course, that war is the ongoing battle between Christ and Satan. Everything that happens, happens under that umbrella. Whether it's the Vietnam War, the First World War, the Second, you name it, the Gulf Wars. Everything happens under the umbrella of a war between Christ and Satan. What book did I say? What chapter? 12, reading from verse 22. Let me pray. Father, please, Lord, be with me. Control my faculties for your glory and the blessing of your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Listen to verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. What's our subject? When you're a prisoner of war, someone else is controlling your life. Are you with me? You can't decide. You have no freedom. You are restrained. You're locked up. You're shackled. You're handcuffed. Listen to this man's condition. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil. Not bothered by a devil. Because Jesus was bothered by the devil. But Jesus was never. By the way, let me tell you clearly, a child of God cannot be demon possessed. What did I say? A child, I didn't just say a church member. I said a child of God cannot be demon possessed. A child of God can be bothered by the devil. Job was bothered. Isaac was bothered. Paul was bothered. Jesus was bothered. But a child of God cannot be possessed. If that's clear, say amen. Now the Bible says, then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. Read the second half of that verse for me. What did Jesus do? And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. He healed him simply means Jesus released that man. Jesus is the commander of heaven's Navy SEALs. Are you with me? To go deliver prisoners of war. And he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? Which means the devil has a kingdom. Are you with me? The devil has a kingdom. And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God, so we have another kingdom, is come unto you. Prisoners of war held by the devil are held in his kingdom. The kingdom of God came to that man in the person of Jesus Christ. He was Satan's prisoner. Now listen to what Jesus says in verse 29 and read that verse microscopically. We read, or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house? Let's back up and look at that again. Remember what we read in Isaiah 14 verse 17. He openeth not the house of his prisoners. Matthew 12:29 is referring to Jesus. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house? That one is Jesus. And spoil his goods. Those are the prisoners. Spoil means to take away. Except he first bind the strong man. That strong man is Jesus. That strong man, sorry, is Satan. But the stronger man is Jesus. Come on, say amen. And he binds Satan and releases his prisoners. The devil knows that. So he does not want you to know about Jesus. Jesus came to release prisoners of war. Now, one man's prison may be alcohol. Another person's prison may be gambling. Someone else's prison cell, I should say, may be robbery. Another person's prison cell may be pride. Another person's may be selfishness. Another person's may be fornication. Another may be pornography. Different cells in one prison. Only Christ can release you. We need Christ. I heard one amen. Come on. We need Jesus. You may live a very successful life. You got two PhDs. You're a tenured professor, University of Brooklyn Park. You have a house in the country, one on the lake. Your 401 is boiling over. All your children are in school. They're all settled. Everything is fine. You don't know Christ. You're a prisoner of war. Everything going well in your life economically, your health, your blood pressure is normal. Everything is fine. You don't know Jesus? Prison of war. Or else, how can one break into a strong man's house? You see, you can change the circumstances of your life without Jesus. What do I mean by that? I have a friend. We used to drink, and he'd be dead drunk, lying in the streets. One day he decided, this is too much. I'm sick and tired of drinking. He stopped. You can stop drinking without Jesus. Are you listening to me? You can stop being wild and without Jesus. You can change a lot of behaviors without Jesus. You cannot be converted without Jesus. Let me say it differently. You can be decent without Jesus. Well spoken of in the community without Jesus. You cannot change your heart without Jesus. Jesus came to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, and that is conquer this thing called the carnal nature, which keeps us a prisoner of the devil. Jesus came in our condition, lived the way we live, felt the temptations we feel, battled with the devil, won a comprehensive victory, and he offers that to you and to me if we'll call on him. I tell you again, there is no human being born into this world since Adam who can save himself. If that were the case, Calvary would have been unnecessary. There are people in this, I almost said you and me, we were once prisoners of war. We met Jesus. He broke into the strong man's house and delivered us. This is the mission of Christ, along with letting the world know how loving the Father is and other aspects of his mission. But the central mission was to deliver the prisoners of war from the prison camp of the carnal nature. Because the devil will not release you. You may desire to be let to go, but the devil will not release you. Jesus has to release you. That's why Paul says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Paul says, stand in the liberty that Jesus provided. What does he mean by that? Listen carefully. Let me pray first. Father, I'm coming to the close. Help me, God. Let me close in a way that brings triumph to the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. When the devil has you, you can't leave. You may want to leave, but you can't leave. When Jesus has you, you can leave. You missed what I said. My fault. When the devil has you, you cannot leave. Someone has to come get you. When Jesus has you, the devil doesn't have to come get you. You can decide to leave. That's freedom. You see, freedom exists in Christ, not in the devil. In Christ, you're free to come and go. Now, he tries to get you to stay. But not with handcuffs, with love. Come on, say amen. But when you belong to the devil, there is no option. The only way you can leave is if someone breaks in and gets you out. And that is Jesus Christ. And so there is liberty in Jesus. You can come and go. Sin doesn't have to come and get you. Listen to me. If the devil died tonight, people will sin tomorrow. We don't sin because of Satan. We sin because we have a nature. And so tonight, I present to you a strong man called, give me his name, Jesus, who can deliver you. There are people all over the world in churches who cry privately because they want to conquer this or that or that. It could be they are still prisoners of Satan, but in the church. Who said crucify him? Tell me. The church. Church leaders. What did Pilate say? I find no fault. He said that three times. The church said, kill him. Pilate said, wait a minute, let me give you a choice. Choice is important. Here's this man in whom I find no fault. Here's Barabbas, who has a rap sheet as long as, I don't know, the Mississippi River. Whom do you want? The people said, give us Barabbas. There are millions of prisoners of war held by the devil, but he holds them in church. Because no one suspects. That's where the devil's agents are. So it is not church that delivers you from bondage. It is Jesus. Now, he has a church. Don't misunderstand me. But it is Christ that delivers you. And Christ is not a doctrine. Christ is a person. the everlasting covenant, in a very real sense, is Christ. The Bible says, He is our peace. He has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Your wisdom is Jesus, because He's the Word. Your redemption is Jesus. Your sanctification is Jesus. Your wisdom is Jesus. Get Jesus. It's not difficult to get Jesus. He's right next to you. What do I mean by that? Go to Revelation 3 quickly. Let me show you what I mean. It's not difficult to get Jesus. You get Him tonight, right now. Revelation 3, let's read verse 20. Our subject, prisoners of war. Do you have Revelation 3, verse 20? What does Jesus say? Behold, I do what? Stand where? At the door. And what? Knock. Now, I live in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I'm staying with the Royal Mokaya family. Right here in Champlain. Are you with me? To knock on their door, I've got to be in Champlain. Are you with me? I've got to be on West River Drive or West River Road. I've got to walk up the pathway. And the only thing between me and them is about half an inch of board. Jesus is knocking where? At the door of your heart, now. So when Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, you don't have to take a bus. That's Delta or whoever, American Airlines. You just say, come. And He says, if any man, open the door. I will come. Let me tell you something. Jesus and the devil cannot inhabit the same space. The devil can pass by closely, but he cannot inhabit the same space as Christ. One of the reasons why so many church members are led by the devil, they make room in their hearts for Jesus, but it's not 100%. It is 96. It is 54. It is 88. In order to be released by Christ, your surrender to Him must be, tell me, 100%.
Father in heaven, thank You for the work of Your Spirit in the lives of Your people whom You love so much. Lord, in all our spiritual dirt, You love us, dear God. That's what the Bible says of Christ. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. In all our lying and stealing and false witnessing and whatever we do, Christ still identifies as a brother. Tonight, dear God, we've come to say, there's a law we've been violating. We know we've been violating it. And we've come to say, sorry, dear God, let me not push my luck any further. Of course, Father, luck is not the word. Some of us have been treating people badly in the church, outside the church, while claiming to be Your children. We want to say, sorry, Father. And so we've come tonight to say, God, have mercy upon me. And the Bible says You delight in mercy. Let it put joy in your heart now, dear God, to be merciful to those who answer the call, to say, I have been willfully disobeying You, Father, I am sorry. Father, the words, I am sorry, are music to Your ears. And You react immediately. Forgive us, dear God. Please do that. That's why Jesus died. Let us not leave feeling forgiven. Let us leave knowing we're forgiven. Because Your word says that. If we confess, He's faithful and just. Faithful means you can trust Him to do it. Just means it's the right thing to do it. To forgive us and cleanse us. Let that cleansing occur right now, dear God. So as my friends go back, they go back clean. Thank You, Lord, for Your love. Thank You for Your patience. Thank You for one more day of mercy. Now, Father, as we exit this building, let angels that excel in strength walk with every single person, Father. Let there be no incident, no accident, no tragedy of any kind, because the devil is busy. But Your angels are more powerful when they work with Your power. Now, watch over us as we sleep. Bring us back tomorrow, I pray. Thank You for Your forgiveness. Thank You for a new life. Thank You for writing or rewriting Your law on our hearts. And we leave this place as Your righteous people. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen. God bless you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.